Greetings, hello, and welcome to the Beyond Earth Show. I'm your host, Ray Trujillo, and welcome to April 20th, 2024. And I hope all of you have had a wonderful past 2 weeks. And today I have a very special transmission for all of you. My dear bestie, a man of wisdom, a man of worldliness and beautiful knowledge and of great spiritual integrity and so many virtues of the soul. And here he is. Mr. Chris Fischel is my co-host today, and I'd like to introduce him.
Thank you so much for those kind words, Ray, and I'm very happy to be here.
I'm so grateful that you're here, and for the audience, it is always a privilege and an honor to be here with you every other week, and I'm grateful for your participation, for your time, and for the hour that we have together that we share. And we have a few topics that we're going to intermittently discuss today, and we've had a great deal of, let's say, symbiotic energy frequencies ongoing planetarily, geoeconomically, in the landscape of the realm in which we do have the contention with the Twilight Zone that we deal with in this earthly dimension on the third plane. And all of us as spiritual beings having an earthly existence in our physical vehicle, our physical shell, in our carne, in the corpus of ourselves, that we have so much to look forward to despite the adversities that we must contend with. Any of the chaos, the conflict, the discord, the calamity of the world, there's also so much purity, so much love, so much beauty, so much of the sanctity of the soul, in which when we invoke the Holy Spirit within us, when we invoke and bring the cosmic kingdom of the divine, when we bring in, whether it's a path of Jesus Christ or any path that is respective to your belief systems, that when all flows and the ebb and the flow of love, light, divinity, and positivity, there's the empowerment within each and every one of us, no matter what happened the day before or the years before or the weeks before. Today is a new day. Today is the beginning of the rest of your life. And so we want to honor ourselves and honor with the communion of like-minded spirits, those that are new amongst the path, those that are also have had their moments on the path, that have had a moment of regress, that have had a moment of a setback, but they're getting back on the elemental horse, let's say. And so we have a great deal to discuss today, and I'd like to give it over to Chris for him to have some words here that he'd like to express.
Oh, thank you so much, Ray. And I just love everything you just said. It's beautiful. We've got to find the light in everything, right?
Yes.
That's such an important thing, especially when there's turmoil in your life or the world. You've got to find the light in the darkness, and that's so important from a soul perspective. And you know, there's a lot of turmoil right now going on in the world, and so it's very important to remind yourself of finding the light in the dark. I love it, Ray.
Yes.
Yeah.
And indeed, so I concur, Chris, because finding the light in the dark, the pillars of light, you be the light of the world, like Mahatma Gandhi would say, right? That may you be the light in the world. And if you can be the light bringer, the harbinger of light in any capacity, whether it's when you walk into the grocery store and you smile to a fellow patron or to the clerk, you just say, hello, how do you do? And I speak of that often on the show, just the simplicity of how you can contribute and to be a contributing member of society in any aspect of the way. And that it, with your kindness, with your altruism, and if it's a challenge for you and you find this world to be very difficult due to some emotional disturbances, spiritual disadvantages and defects, because you've been through so much pain and you've been through the tumults of this world, and you just have a defiance to trusting that there is still goodness that remains on this realm, in this world, then that is when you want to really go within and begin to trust yourself that you are representative of God's light, of the universal light, that even if the world has failed you, even if the world has trampled upon you and people have persecuted you and chastised you and ostracized you, that look within to trust yourself and let that inner light, that inner trust, be the pathway for yourself where everything starts to magnetize. And then you can invoke your own tribe, let's say. You can invoke a different resonance around you and upon you, to which the world that formerly betrayed you, perhaps, let's say, the world that was highly disconcerting and let you down, that when you give yourself back that empowerment, when you were previously disempowered by others, especially when you're an innocent person, right? That happens often to us kind souls. But that's when we have the disenchantment. And when the disenchantment commences, that's when the darkness enjoys to feed it off of our disenchantment, of our essence of being disempowered. But when we re-empower ourselves, when we find and we reignite with that enchantment of this realm, of this world, the light magnifies. The light starts to really grow and glow and just continue in this beautiful purveyance and in just the sequence of action. So just reminding anyone out there, if you're going through a dark moment, please just look within. And the self-love activation, just practice it. Conscious reconditioning is a real thing, and it can be highly effective. And if you don't have, you know, a therapist, if you don't have a spiritual counsel, if you don't really work within yourself, because you do have the kingdom of heaven within you.
And there's nothing more healing than to give as well. And so I feel like something as small as, you know, a smile to the store clerk and, you know, how's your day going, is such a small giving. But when you really, live that, you will instantly become happier. So, you know, you can take it from the smallest of things, like, you know, a gentle exchange with a clerk, or the big things like, you know, volunteering at a shelter or whatever you want to do. But it is the quickest, easiest way to heal yourself of your own wounds.
Precisely. And as St. Francis of Assisi said, it is through giving that we receive. And, yes, you know, Chris is a testament of, he is one of the most benevolent, giving, kind, powerful empaths that I've known. And it's an honor to be with him today and have him share his presence and his voice and his expression with all of you. And this is a time right now in the world, especially, no matter what the paradigm that you may have come from, if you've come from the light or the dark, or you're in the neutrality of it all, the soul's emergence, the evolution of the soul, that we all have our points of reference in our life, historically, expositionally, that we've all been through one thing or another, or actual accumulation of sequences that have really affected us in our lives. And how can we support one another in this journey, in this third dimensional realm? And this realm is not the end, that the realms that are in the aspects of our soul's evolution that we know, that we seek to strive to attain in our ascension, to be at one, to be combined with source, to be connected to our holy source. And it's just a privilege, and it truly is such a miraculous time to be alive right now, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
And you know, there's so much room right now for empathy, love, positivity, and, you know, what a wonderful opportunity to express and live those things. And that's how we're going to positively change the world.
I concur, absolutely, because it's just with, like as Chris was saying, you know, as it could be from a small dynamic, a small expression that is exponentially profound. One smile could potentially prevent someone from wanting to be, to take their own life one evening, right? Like, you just never know. You just never know what lies within the heart and the soul and the mind of a human being. Perhaps they might have felt that there is no hope and they're disenchanted. And your one action, just the element of kindness to a safe degree, can be this, let's say, it's so advantageous and it's infectious. Happiness can be infectious. And when you know your how and your why and our purpose, right? So everyone must have a why and a how and what it is that, you know, promotes you, motivates you in your day, whether it's that you have an ailment, that you have an illness, that you have a perhaps incurable disease, but you still have that purpose as to, okay, what can I do today to better my life? What can I do, even if the doctors told me that I'm incurable, that there's no hope for me? Well, perhaps that's not always up to the prognosis of the doctor, that perhaps within my soul, that my soul knows that I have a greater and deeper journey, that even if I transcend this physical flesh and this bone and this interstitial fluid and blood, that I still have a great purpose beyond this sphere, this realm, and no one can take that away from you. And so many people, you know, you hear it all the time that they've recovered over a miraculous event. And other people, it's literally their divine time to transcend this planet, to go on to do God's work in the outer realms. And so we honor so many precious people. And today specifically, though, we honor those, we honor the earthly kingdom creatures, we honor, as it's Earth Day, we honor the sun, the moon, the stars, Mother Gaia, we honor God's kingdom, and we honor each other, and we honor our respect to all the creatures, large and small, and we also commend ourselves with Saint Francis of Assisi and all the elemental kingdoms, all of the, let's say, the realms that observe us from outer planets, interdimensional realms that see us in our respect to life and how we take care of the unfortunate, how we take care of the vulnerable, how we take care of the innocent, and how we respect the magnificent and strong and the apex predators, right? But we ourselves as human beings, as we are our own apex predator in our own way, that we must respect and love one another to the best of our capacity that we humanly can. And I have a lot to say, but I wanted to ask Chris if he wanted to add to that.
I feel like this might be a fantastic segue for,
Yes. So what in the, I'd like to share with all of you, my dear Chris's uncle, his beauty and his virtue and his, I mean, it's all an understatement, but his uncle Bill.
Yeah, my uncle Bill was a Catholic bishop who passed away in 2017, and we have a clip of his final sermon. This man is incredible. He lived a Christ-like life. He treated everyone with compassion, and I feel like he had some very wise things to say in his final sermon.
Yes, and his sermon, it was just an honor to hear it that I just had to share with the world. When, with Chris's permission and the family's permission, it's an honor and a privilege, and I would very much like to share it with all of you. And it's a 10-minute beautiful sermon, and let's get that prepared to share it now. And in the meantime, while we're getting that prepared, there's much of life to celebrate. And in the celebration, we love to honor one another, especially those that are here and those that are on and living beyond in the heavenly realm. And so in this time, especially on Earth Day, it is truly a remarkable aspect to be able to just commune with one another and celebrate one another and our kindred spirits. And when we find and we're blessed with the kindred spirit aspects, and we never want to sever or lose that. And so we want to just honor and share those that are here upon earth and those that are also in the heavenly realm that are still with us in spirit. And how do you feel about that?
I concur. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And you, when you do come across a kindred spirit, you know right away.
Right. Exactly.
They just feel like home.
Yeah, and in that way, the soul's tribe, right? The magnetism of the soul, in which when we are in the world, in civilization, right? And we feel this resonance, we feel this incoming familiarity from past lives, mm-hmm. from a previous incarnation, or from that, wow, we must have traversed this earth together once before, yeah. right? That we must have, you know, imparted and shared our heart space and our mind space and our cosmic frequency with one another in some point in time. And so that is the essence of celebrating. And with Uncle Bill, just I've heard so many beautiful, these allegories of him, and just it's an understatement that I don't even think, I mean, and this, the time that we have today is not, I would say, even, it wouldn't even be able to provide even a microcosm of a testament of his grandiose ability to just bring that light to the world, bring that love to the world. Like, it's just such a humble but powerful and beautiful, pure man and soul. And so let's see if we can get that prepared, and we would very much like to share Uncle Bill's sermon. And was there anything that you'd like to share?
Just that, you know, when you meet a person like Bill, and you guys are going to, I imagine the audience is going to feel like they know him just from listening to this 10-minute sermon, because he has that kind of magnetism and energy. You just understand his soul almost immediately. And when you find those people, keep them close. Keep them close and dear to you, because people like Bill could change your entire existence with a matter of words and a smile. And
he was the epitome,
yes,
of a Christ-like being here on planet Earth, mm-hmm. walking amongst this planet to share the good news. Mm-hmm.
And he had zero judgment about himself.
And that's the most Christ-like, is that many people that, there's so many people full of judgment. Mm-hmm. And it's the opposite of Christ's message.
Yeah, yeah. He's the judge, right?
Right, exactly. And so we judge ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. And when we judge ourselves, but then we judge others. And so in the aspect of all that is divine, we have this, I would say, there's a confluency with, I would say, a symbiosis in that kindred notion of that we share these principles with one another, and we give space. We allow the sacredness to grow within, and we also celebrate the aspects of our strengths, and we uncover any of our weaknesses that we all have, and we grow with that, and we utilize that to fortify and strengthen and to literally foster and foist those strengths and transcend from the weakness to the strengths. And like I was saying earlier, you know, every day is a chance for a new beginning, and we invite that in. And so, you know, on the topic of the angelic realms, mm-hmm. we've all had these supernatural experiences with, let's say, these otherworldly, spiritual, poignant experiences, mm-hmm. where was that an angel incarnate in mm-hmm. flesh, right?
Right.
And, you know, we have the apparitions of the saints, and we have the apparitions of just people that we would just see as a human being, but was that truly an angel?
Right.
So there are the in the elements of this existence that we, like Aristotle says, I know that I know nothing, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, what do we truly know?
Right. That, and that humility is godly, you know? And, you know, Bill, the reason I'm so excited to share this as well is it would bring him so much joy to know that his words are continuing to be heard by people. That this, his message lives on. And, you know, words are beautiful, but it's also, you know, how you live your life. It's action, more so than talk. And, he was a man of action. Selfless. All he ever wanted to do was help anyone at any time, anybody who needed help. He just wanted to provide that. And I feel like that's something that if we all emulate that, we'd have a much more beautiful world. So try to live in that divine frequency. Lead with love. It's the most important thing.
Absolutely. And, you know, leading with love and that divine frequency, it's carrying on, because we are all in this electric body, let's say, in our biofield, in our astral body, our soul star, that we're not just of this flesh and bone. We have this gargantuan aspect to each and every one of us. Each and every one of us, our presence, our soul's expression is paramount, and what we do with it, how we celebrate ourselves is self-love. And also, when we can love ourselves more in that way, and with that humility, as Chris was expressing, then we can thereby continue forth to share that love with others and to love more powerfully and more purely. And one of the main aspects of retaining positivity within ourselves, especially amidst the twilight zone of the world and the realm of the world, and when we have to contend with the dark forces, let's say, we're in spiritual warfare. One can say we've been in spiritual warfare since the beginning of time, let's say, right? But in essence, though, in the here and the now, in the present moment, the gift of the present moment, what do we do with the gift? What do we do with ourselves in the present moment? No matter what has happened, no matter what we have faced, no matter the opposition and the negativity that wants to lower our vibrational frequency, that wants us to endure with this sadistic nature, the pure enjoyment of seeing the pain and the sorrow and deriving a pleasure from it. So when we know that, we know that the lower vibrational energies wish to invoke that upon us, wish to experience and observe that, because they feed off of our suffrage. But when we can overpower that within our own, bringing in our positivity, being that light of the world in our own way, we raise that resiliency. We create a tenacity. And that with our tenacity to be resilient with the integrity of all, then who can be against us? If God is with us, if the angelic realm is with us, then who can be against us, right? And so when we provide and we share our cosmic sacred heart with one another, because that is the universal language of true Christ consciousness and Buddha consciousness and, you know, universal consciousness for everyone out there, just for speaking to everyone. The show is for everyone. The show is for love and for the purpose of instilling positivity, regardless of your belief system. And I always mention that just in case you're new to the show. But when you walk the path of that Christ consciousness, the Buddha consciousness, the cosmic consciousness, when your heart leads you, when your spirit leads you, and there is a pureness within that, that magic alchemizes. You can alchemize and diffuse any situation. Mm-hmm. And Chris, if you'd like to share, because you're wonderful with alchemizing.
Well, I feel like something that you're hitting on right now that's so important is energy multiplies. It doesn't matter if it's light energy or dark energy.
Absolutely.
It doesn't stop at one action. And so just living a kinder existence, treating, like, going back again, something as small as just treating a clerk with respect and giving them a smile, and that multiplies. They then, you lifted their energy up, the next person they go interact with, they're going to lift up, and it grows. And you can say the same thing about dark energy. If you're bad to people, or you treat people with disrespect, that negativity affects yourself, it affects them, and then it affects everyone they interact with that follows. So there's a massive importance of being responsible with your energy and what frequency you're putting out.
Yes, and Chris said it perfectly, that there's responsibility with everything. So if you have the power within you to pray for someone in need, if you have the ability and the knowledge and the call within your soul for the reverence of the word, then it is within your duty, it is your obligation and a duty and an honor to God, the Almighty, the Universal Kingdom, the Creator, the Grand Architect, the Source, to the angelic realm, the celestial realm, to the creature kingdom, to the human kingdom, that you can posit meritorious actions, meritorious words, even if it's a hug, even if it is a, I just wanted to check on you. How are you doing today, my dear brother, my dear sister? You know, check on your neighbor, check on the elderly person that you know is alone. Check on the single father, single mother with their newborn baby, whatever the case may be. You just never know what people go through in this world. And yes, there's a lot of salacious activity in this world, and there's a lot of oversharing and over-dramatization and spectacles that people do happen to make a habit of, where we get desensitized, where it's very normal for us as human beings in this day and age to become, unfortunately, desensitized, to where it's no big deal now if we hear that X, Y, and Z occurred, or that this tragedy occurred. And perhaps 20 years ago, it would bring us to our knees to pray or to invoke or to send out the bat signal of love to that person, right? Or to those, that community. But now it's as if we are in this mass psychosis and also in this conditioning to just accept it to be the norm, where Mad Max is our essential realm that we are conditioned to living amongst. And that is not the right way at all, that every element matters. Every transgression is as significant as the transgressions from years past. Mm-hmm. And
what a privilege to have the ability to affect your surroundings, right? That's a privilege. And so that's where I feel like there is a responsibility to use it in a positive way, and positively impact the lives of those around you, just with your actions.
And what Chris is saying is so true. There's a deep bearing significance with that, because when we are desensitized, and through, there's a great deal of cognitive dissonance and mass psychosis, and, you know, I would say the brainwashing of the mind, right? The rape of the mind. And so where sometimes it's out of our control, where we might not even realize that we're being, we have the inherent learned behavior to response in the response system. And the way that we orient ourselves, the way that we react, and our hyper responsiveness to trauma and the trauma around us and our own traumas, right? But when there's a true reality and there's a true need, and that is what the dark forces love. The dark forces love us to be desensitized, that if we hear of the elderly neighbor or the person who is challenged and is alone, and we just assume, well, that's just life. Right. That's not the way that we are intended to be. That we can't just see a helpless kitten or puppy or like a little injured animal and just say, eh, well, who cares? But that's the desensitization of the lower vibration qualities, where, you know, you have crisis experts in like crisis counseling and trauma specialists, right? And to their degree, you know, they're not desensitized, yet they're so familiarized with it, but they know what to do. And we're not all trauma specialists. We're not all crisis experts with how to navigate around that. But when that happens to a society, then it's the downfall of whether it's God, if it's Buddha, the Shekinah, if it is Ganesha, if it is Allah, if it is anything that you believe in. When we as a society, as a whole sum, regardless of where we originate, what our belief, what our paths are, but when that is taken from us, our humanity is lessened, and thereby our sensitivities to the world are diminished. And what does that say about us, where we are supposed to be, yes, in this third dimensional realm, but operating and transcending into the fifth dimensional aspect of our soul's evolution and beyond? But if we're regressing as human beings, then what would be of our fellow generation unless there's this inherent learned behavior and these defects are transcended?
Well, and it's a more challenging time now than more than ever to stay grounded, to not get desensitized, because we carry around these little black screens with us everywhere we go.
So true.
We're accessible any time of day to anyone. The internet, the fact that we just have way more information coming our way on a daily basis than any person could handle to properly download. And I feel like it's more challenging now than ever to stay grounded and to not, you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
I'm losing my words here.
Oh, no, you're doing perfectly, because I have so much to say with in response to what you're doing and what you're expressing, because there's so much truth. These are essentially the black mirror.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, if we can go back, in archaic time, was a scrying mirror. Yeah. Actually, here, I have a perfect, right in front of me, I have a beautiful black obsidian, and this truly is the first mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Obsidian, the scrying mirror, and they would use this to scry and to see. But in essence, though, our little devices that we all have, whether or not it's one brand or another brand or this or that, no matter what model, but essentially it is a scrying mirror, and the black mirror of things. I mean, just look at the
absolutely,
the similarity there. But it's a controlling agent, and it does spy on us, and the 702 and the. I could go on and on about what's going on, but in aspects of, we can't just run around with Faraday cages all day. Mm-hmm. We can't just run around with EMF protectors all day. But there is where, when we ground ourselves, and this is a great time to talk about grounding, right? When we can ground into the earth and we can, you know, literally disconnect. You hear people often, especially like in, and for spiritual retreat purposes, right? That it's important to disconnect. It's important to unplug if you can. And I understand many of you have, maybe if you have like 10 children and you need to keep in touch with all of them and you want to make sure that, you know, everyone's safe at all times, you want accessibility. I understand that. We understand that. But in the normal practice of, for the healthy boundaries of the self to have grounding, to have the element permission of the self, to disconnect. Like, so let's say that you know that all your kids are safe, that, you know, your parents are safe, that no one's in danger. Allow yourself maybe a little mm-hmm. time to tune out, mm-hmm. to just walk in Zen, mm-hmm. to pray, meditate, do your yoga, do your Tai Chi, do your exercises, do whatever without the electromagnetic frequency and the constant disruption and also the distractions of, let's say, social media and other people. And so essentially, that is precisely the purpose of uniting with the self.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you all for being here today again. And I really did want to express that we thank you for honoring Uncle Bill. And we're going to play Uncle Bill's sermon now. And
enjoy, everyone.
Yeah, it's just profound.
Gaudete Sunday. Rejoice. Gaudete, rejoice. It's a Sunday full of joy when we anticipate very soon the birth of the Christ child, the innocent babe, who brings us the fullness of life, that we can live our lives to the fullest. Joy. You know, Father Vincent is a very nice man. Well, he is. He's my brother. And I love him. On the first Sunday of Advent, as I was leaving after Mass, Sylvia and I would pass by, and he said, "Bill, I've got all the Masses on the third Sunday of Advent. Would you like to preach at one or more of them?" Wasn't that? But that was very nice of you. It was, yes. And you, and when we see Vincent, when we see Father Vincent, what do we see? He brings joy to us. Isn't that true? That yeah. He told me, "Don't say too many nice things about me because I'll lose my humility." Don't worry. We won't let that happen. But I think Father Vincent epitomizes for me what it means to be a Christian person, because he brings joy to everything that he does. He's always available to us with that beautiful smile on his face. And that's what being a Christian is all about. It's being a joy-filled person, not somebody who's afraid, because we have nothing to fear. We don't have death to fear. We have nothing to fear. Life may be difficult from time to time, as we all know. But with that joy of the resurrection in our hearts, the knowledge that we came from a God who loves us and that we return to a God who loves us sustains us. John the Baptizer was an extraordinary individual. And if there's one thing that I gained from reading the Gospel today, it was the clarity of purpose, of meaning in his life that John had. He knew who he was, and he knew what he had to do. His mission, the purpose of his life, was to usher in the kingdom of God, to prepare for the arrival of Jesus, who is the fulfillment of God's love. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path. He knew who he was, and he knew what he was about. And so this morning, we could ask ourselves, do we know who we are, and do we know what we're about? Do we have that clarity of purpose and meaning that John had? How do we make straight the way of the Lord, prepare for the Lord's coming? It seems to me that the way we do that is really quite simple. We don't have to be doctors of divinity. We don't have to have PhDs. We simply have to live our lives as loving people. And by the example of that life, we spread God's love. That is our mission and our purpose, to usher in the kingdom of God, that kingdom of justice and peace and integrity and honesty and compassion, by treating the people we meet on a daily basis with dignity and with respect, irrespective of who they are. This brings purpose and meaning, not the acquisition of material goods or wealth or power, but the ability to give love, and in that, the ability to receive it. It's all about love. You know, life is so precious. Life is so precious. When we're younger or we're well, we're busy raising a family. I've got to get some water. My mouth is dry. I'm sorry. It's the medications. For much of our lives, we're really human beings. Human doings rather than being human beings. We're so busy doing and getting along, getting on with our life, that we're not really living it. It's when you're confronted with illness, the loss of something, that you begin to realize how very important life is, every moment of every day. My own disease, cancer, is now progressing in its natural course. I'm not receiving any more treatment. I know that I shall be welcomed by that loving Savior who welcomes us all. I am not personally afraid of death. What I want to do, though, is make every minute count. And I urge you today, as John urged the people who came to listen to him, to prepare the way of the Lord, to usher in God's kingdom by being the most loving person you can do, you can be, and to recognize that every minute of every day is precious. And this starts in our families. If there are family members who are alienated in any way, I urge you, in your hearts, to forgive or to ask to be forgiven, and if possible, where it won't cause more hurt, to reach out. Let there be no animosity or alienation in our families. We're preparing for the birth of Jesus, He who brought light into the world. Let us bring light into the world by appreciating our spouses, by telling them often, I love you, thank you for the small things you've done for me. And saying to your children, I know you're doing your best. I want you to know I love you no matter what. No matter what. We start in our families, repairing any broken relationships. We reach out where we can. And then our extended family, our friends. This is the way we usher in the kingdom of God. Please, do not waste a moment of your lives. When you leave here, don't leave the good news here. Take it with you. Proclaim it to the world by the way you live. Then we will have joy in our hearts, because joy comes from giving, not receiving. Joy comes from appreciation of all the wonderful things that we have had in our lives. I've had a wonderful life. Been married for 52 years on December the 19th to Sylvia. I don't know if she's had a wonderful life, but I've had a wonderful life. I have a wonderful son, two wonderful granddaughters. I have so much. There is nothing I haven't said that I wanted to say. There's nothing I haven't done that I wanted to do. That is what I wish for you. Don't waste time. Do it today. Because then peace can reign in your heart. I wish for you peace. And I wish for you joy. So rejoice and make straight the way of the Lord.
Oh, so beautiful.
I've listened to that about 30 times in my life, and every single time I feel like I hear something new.
Yes, there's so much dynamism in all of this. It's the most poignant, as being an understatement. It doesn't serve the proper justice to the weight and the significance and the reverence of his words, and the confliction, the when we're in this realm and we're in this world and all of those conflicts that we face. We hear this in the matter of 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. In this beautiful, powerful, and concise, in just a matter of 10 minutes, it has this transformational quality. Mm-hmm. That no matter what our affliction may be, or our own essence, whatever the adversity may be within our own hearts and our minds, or for anyone else, that hearing all this has this beyond, is essentially going about his Father's business.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, that's
I'm
very sweet to
hear. To go about my Father's business, your Uncle Bill, truly living a life of honor, integrity, mm-hmm. virtue, and going about his Father's business, and then leading an example. And, you know, these years later, perhaps let's say going on 7 years later from mm-hmm. the time in which that was, I believe, December 2017?
Yeah.
December 17th, mm-hmm. perhaps, so I could be wrong, but. This many years later, the significance that it bears, and the poignancy in its poetry, in truth, in its majesty.
Yeah, and the one thing I can tell you, I think, well, Bill was unique in so many different ways, but I'd say one of the things that anybody would agree with is he was the most present person I've ever met in my life. In a very special way, that when Bill was communicating with you, you knew you had his entire attention. He was completely present for the communication. And I think that kind of connects to what we were talking about before we played the sermon, of the best way to ground yourself is to be present. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, again, these black mirrors we carry around everywhere. Yeah. If you're spending time with your friends or family, put it down. Be present with them.
Precisely.
And that unlocks a door that makes it so much easier to be kind and happy when you look into somebody's eyes, not through them.
That's beautifully stated.
And that was what Bill practiced. Everyone that ever met Bill would agree with that statement.
That's profoundly true. And in also commentary regarding his beautiful sermon, that to be that light again, you know, the show speaks of that a lot, that but to be that light, to bring that light in and to bring in the good news and also to take it with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, regardless of our time here on planet Earth, and if we have a time of longevity and a time that's short-lived, in whatever capacity that our timeline is within our soul's agreeance, that we make it, we maximize our potential here, that we maximize our purpose, that we maximize our how and our why in whatever capacity that we can, that we see fit, that is conducive to our own soul's recognition and our intellect and our mind and our heart and our spirit and what we have access to. And if we don't have access, we can seek it. We can pray for it. We can meditate upon it. We can proclaim it. And we fixate upon that accessibility. We bring that in. And then we launch from there. And so you see people that have their resurrection within their self, the renewal, the archetype of regeneration and renewal. Constantly, we see people throughout our lives that, my goodness, look, this person has made a miraculous transformation of their orientation, of their intellect, of their attitudinal adjustment, of their precepts, correct? So, and then on the contrary, we have those that, but it's much more the case in the contrary of that when that happens, when you have good and then it just regresses, then there's a circumstance in which there has to be a fine tuning, and then the love and the compassion must commence within. But we see the transformation in all of us at all times, where transformation for the greater good can be instilled. And we see the testament of it around us consistently.
Mm-hmm. And the great news is, doing this kind of work, living in love, having a positive impact on the people around you, is the fastest way to joy. It's not work. It doesn't, when you start to really practice it, it doesn't feel like work. It doesn't become work. You're positively affecting the world around you, which in turn is positively affecting you.
Yes. And when it does positively affect us in that way, then we just pronounce with that joy. And then that joy is exponential.
Right.
In the spirit and within our frequency. And so when we are walking and sharing the harbinger of light and love in the heart of us all. And so I truly wanted to thank all of you today for your presence, for taking the time to share with us and listen to beautiful Uncle Bill's sermon that means so much to us. And we are grateful. And Chris, lovely, I'm so grateful for your presence with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a great time.
And we'll have to have you back again.
I would love to.
It was such joy, truly a joy. And thank you all. This has been your host, Ray Trujillo of the Beyond Earth Show. And I look forward to being with you again in the next 2 weeks. And may you make it the most beautiful and most your own miracles. Create your own miracles. Invoke the kingdom of heaven within you. Invoke the magnetism of your heart and your sacredness within you. Bring in your love and compassion and your light throughout your days. And make the most of it. Have a beautiful weekend. Bye.